Our scripture reading for this evening's lesson is taken from Psalm 104. Psalm 104 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Once again, good evening. Glad to have you back with us as we assemble a second time to worship God. As we're continuing our examination, if you will, of the Psalms on Sunday nights when time permits, tonight we're going to look at Psalm 104. We're going to kind of parallel this passage, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But I feel we need to do just a half a second or two on the background of the Psalms. This is Hebrew poetry. We need to remind ourselves of that because it doesn't necessarily rhyme. It doesn't necessarily follow a pattern in English. Now in Hebrew, it would have looked perfect. It would have looked like one of our poems looks to us, but this has been translated from Hebrew into a couple of different languages, more likely than not, and then finally into English. Still has the same meaning, but sometimes we read it and we think, well, that kind of sounds a little different. What does Hebrew poetry do? It is a parallel style of writing. So it makes a statement, and then it backs up and makes the statement again and takes it a little further, kind of like building a bridge. And it backs up, and it will keep saying and keep adding a layer until whoever's writing has finally accomplished their goal. That's kind of how Hebrew poetry is laid out. Now, the psalm does not specifically have a title here in the text, but you could title it, How Great Thou Art. A song I know we're familiar with in our songbooks, How Great Thou Art. Before we get into examining the psalm, it's actually summed up, really, in verse 24, where the psalmist says, O Lord, how manifold are Thy works, and wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. It has often been said that when you look at the stars, what do you see? Some people only see lights in the sky, and other people see the glory of God. Depends on how you want to look at it. I like to see the glory of God in, up there, but not just the glory of God seen in the sky, but God is seen all throughout creation. When Paul writes to those at Rome in Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, he talks about the invisible things being seen. And by that, Paul means that you can look out in nature and see that there was an intelligent designer. We know his name to be God Almighty in heaven. It wasn't an accident. It didn't just pop into existence or bang into existence, as some scientists like to say, but it was expertly designed. And we can see that all throughout creation. There's a song in our songbook, I mentioned it, called How Great Thou Art, and it's number 723. And if you would, grab your songbook, and let's just look at the verses. I think we're familiar with it. But it's 723, How Great Thou Art, Stuart K. Hine being the author on this. Most people know this song probably due to Elvis Presley and the Jordanaires. They really helped popularize it. But it starts out, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works, or the worlds, originally was works, all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. And when I think, now verse 3 may be, in my humble opinion, the most beautifully written verse of a song. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died my sin, to take away my sin. Then when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. That's kind of the sentiments that we see here in Psalm 104. Now, I mentioned as a way of introduction, we're going to do some paralleling with this psalm. If you're sitting next to somebody and you want to be real good friends tonight, one of you be open to Psalm 104 and the other person be open to Genesis chapter 1. If you want to do that, or if you want to flip back and forth, I actually brought two copies of the Word of God because there's a lot of parallels between Genesis chapter 1 and Psalm 104. And so with that introduction, this is a creation hymn. The poet's version is in Genesis, the poetic version of Genesis chapter 1. It roughly follows it. It doesn't specifically like mention the creation of the birds or animals or man, but it does show how things were provided by God's creation. So with that, let's look at Psalm 104. And as we look at verse 1, it begins the way that 103 ends, basically. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and with majesty. So we see personal praise from the heart starts Psalm 1. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning, they were the first day. Now, continuing on to verse 2, coverest thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. You see the comparison there. Genesis records how it happens, and the psalmist says he stretched everything out. He put light where it needed to be, and he put darkness in the other places. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, Psalm 104, verses 3 and 4. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire. Genesis 1 records of God separating the waters. Here Psalm 104 talks about beams, and using that poetically, of course, talking about the clouds. Now this is quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, verse 4, and verse 7. Where he says, his Son, by whom he also made the worlds, be made much better than the angels. Of the angels, he said, he makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, spirit could also just mean winds. It's either the winds and fire obey him as do the angels, or the angels are sent out as wind and fire to do his will. Either one works in that passage. The emphasis is on the sovereignty of God. Now, Genesis 1, 9 and 10. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Now verses 5 through 9 of our psalm. Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. And they go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not turn not again to cover the earth. Well, in Genesis it says how God made the dry land appear. Well, here the psalmist is saying how God made the dry land appear, and it has its own boundaries, and it's only supposed to go so far, and it's supposed to stop at other places. Now verses 10 through 13, he sendeth the springs into the valleys which ram among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, and the wind asses quench their thirst. The wind asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. God set up what we may call the hydrologic cycle, which brings water back over the land, makes it available to the beasts of the earth, the fowl of the air. Then you know the story. It rains, goes down, it's consumed, or it evaporates, goes back up in the sky, comes back down. A science teacher could explain it better than I can, but that's how it happens. It's a cycle, and it keeps going on and on. Is that not what the psalmist is talking about? He's talking about how it's a cycle, and they're given this, and they're given that. Science, or the Bible has proven many things scientists found out hundreds of years later. They just read the Bible, might have benefited them. Now, to Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding tree, or the tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And now verses 14 through 18 of Psalm 104. He caused the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man. He may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he had planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are for her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. Well, trees of the Lord, talking about a great forest which no man planted, but we know God actually planted them. The great cedars of Lebanon, which King Hiram cut, he had sent to Solomon, and this is where the wood that built the Lord's temple came from. Now, Coney is more likely a badger, by the way, if you're not familiar with that one. You're familiar with the other ones, but all these animals have changed between 1611 and now. Now, Genesis chapter 1, 14 through 19. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Let them be for lights to the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good in the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now verses 19 through 23. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth is going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. The man goeth forth unto his work and unto his labor unto the evening. So we see set in the sky to mark the time, to mark the seasons. That would be the sun and the moon. A timepiece in the sky. It's a balance of activity for day and for night. Some animals are nocturnal. Some like it in the daylight. We know this to be true. But here the psalmist is just echoing Genesis 1. Now, Genesis 1, 20 and 21. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth, the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verses 24 through 26 now of Psalm 104. O Lord, how manifold are thy works, and wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein all things creeping innumerable, both small and great beast. There go the ships, there is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. From the little creeping things to the great Leviathan, or a great, massive sea creature. By the way, Leviathan's also described in Job chapter 41, perhaps maybe an extinct dinosaur, maybe the largest living thing known today is the blue whale. Maybe something like that, maybe bigger. But the psalmist says God made them all and they all have their place, from the big to the little. Now verse 27 through 32. These all wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them they gather. That thou givest them they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. And thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. Now notice, it doesn't just say he creates the earth, or created the earth, but he also sustains the earth. Hebrews 1:3 says he upholds all things by the word of his power. The earth is in existence because of God. No question about that. Of Colossians 1, 6 and 7, by him were all things created, and by him do all things consist. Now Genesis 1, 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now verses 33 and 34. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. This is a picture of man rejoicing at the world that God has made for him. Now 35. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more, no more wicked. The beauty of the creation has been marred by sin. But notice, bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. It ends as it begins with a personal, heartfelt phrase. Now that phrase, praise the Lord, is what we translate as hallelujah. Today, it is a call for us to gather together in worship to our Lord. So what do you see? Well, in this psalm, you see the glory, the grace, the wisdom, and the eternal power of the Lord in heaven. Truly, He is great. And that's the same God that we serve. The same God that spoke the world into existence is the same God that we serve today. Are you serving Him? Are you faithful to what He has commanded for us to do? If not, why not? Why not start tonight? Obedience to Him. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, you'll have your sins washed away. You'll come out of that watery grave a new creature. If you've not done that, please do that tonight. We plead with you. If you have, keep going. Keep remaining faithful unto death. Receive that crown of life. It's a promise from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. If sin is into your life, why not come back and get on the right track with God? He is great, and He said He will forgive you if we confess our sins. Whatever your need is, if we can help in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.